Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thank you for being part of my day. Mr. Humble, at your service. That's what they call me around here. And I'm very excited about having Doug Tatum back on the show. And Doug is a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Just finished 9 years as a member of our Brain Trust. He is, let me tell you about his new gig, Assistant Professor of Entrepreneurship at Middle Tennessee State University, MTSU, out in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you know him from his past gig, leading the Tatum. Tatum LLC organization, whom we still are in touch with, and he's the author of an outstanding book, a landmark watershed book, No Man's Land. But more importantly, he's our good friend, Doug Tatum. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome back, and congratulations on your new gig. Congratulations to the leadership at MTSU. They were very smart to get you up there.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it. We just started. A lot of people don't realize it's the largest undergraduate school in the University of Tennessee, in Tennessee State, and so I'm glad to be there.
Well, you know, over the years, Doug, you don't know this, but over the years, we have interviewed a number of people who do what you do for entrepreneurs in the higher education organizations. Vanderbilt, Fisher School of Business. In fact, we just had someone on this week from Fisher School of Business. Babson. I also had somebody on this week from Babson College.
Oh yeah.
Patricia Green. You may know Patty.
I know Patty very well.
She was just on yesterday, I think it was. And we're glad to add you to our roles of real business people who are running entrepreneurial organizations in the halls of education. And I'm very excited about you being there, Doug, because you bring a background to that assignment that the marketplace needs. We need more people who've made a payroll doing those kinds of jobs, not just people who are academics.
Well, and I congratulate the academic world because they're increasingly bringing folks in.
Yep.
That have had some academic background like I have, as well as the real world experience, and it's important.
So you've had an opportunity to talk to some of your charges there. And what have you learned from them?
Well, you know, Jim, I think you'll find this fascinating, and your audience might, but I started the class by asking the students to vote on their definition of profit. And I drew on one end of the whiteboard a circle that indicated that profit was your customer's applause for value that you added above your cost, right?
Right. Win-win.
Win-win. And on the other end, I define profit as something extracted from the customer to their disadvantage.
Zero-sum game.
Zero-sum game, you know,
yeah.
Short-term scenario. And it was about split.
Really?
And it was shocking to me. And I
half,
think
of the, half the people thought it was a zero-sum game.
Half the people thought it was a zero-sum game. And so we had an interesting discussion about that. But I think it reflects
Let me stop for a second.
Yeah.
That what you just told us is the reason why, folks, we need to be teaching entrepreneurship in these schools, not only in high colleges, but in high schools, too. And there are more and more people doing this, by the way. There are more and more high schools that are having entrepreneur curriculum because we've got to change these people's their minds. We don't need these smart people heading off with their pigskin in their hand and their sheepskin, I should say, their diplomas, and thinking that profit's a bad thing.
Well, and I think it's a fundamental issue. I mean, who wants to spend their career doing something that is reflected wrongly in society as being selfish or short term? And
yeah.
You know, these are wonderful students, and I think by the time it's all over, they're going to understand that if you're going to sustain an enterprise long term, you have to add value, or you won't get the votes from the consumers or from your customers. But I tell you, the business world is under attack, And that reflects it in what I would consider to be a very conservatively oriented school by student population as opposed to, let's say, the Ivy League.
Right. In other words, this is not the Murfreesboro, Tennessee is not exactly the People's Republic of Berkeley.
No, and I got to tell you, I've been invited around the world to speak at a number of academic institutions before I started this one. Just got back from Europe, and I won't name the institutions, but I tell you, it is a fascinating experience when you walk into an elite European institution and find out that a good chunk of those students are Asian from China.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, you know, we're going to have to compete in a world where entrepreneurs are going to be key.
When we come back, one of the things I want to ask Doug is something he said a minute ago about business is under attack right now. I'd like to know what he means by that. And we're also going to get Doug to get us some ideas on how you and I can compete in the second decade of the 21st century. 20 till the hour. Stay with us. Bit of the Stones bringing us back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Take our poll question, which is right there on the homepage. And lots of other things that are there. Articles, archives. My blog is there. The knowledge base, et cetera, et cetera. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. I'd like to see you there. Having a great visit with our good friend Doug Tatum. He's the author of No Man's Land, associate professor at Middle Tennessee State University, MTSU, in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Well, brand spanking new. The ink still isn't quite dry on it, on his agreement there. He just showed up there, and we're glad he's holding the entrepreneurial fort down there. Doug, you said something in the last segment. You said business is under attack. I know what I think that means. My audience probably knows what they think it means. But what do you think it means?
Well, I mean, if you want to get down to the specifics, I think number one. It's an attitude that exists in most of the press today about the direction of the country, and at its very fundamental. It's the regulatory and tax environment and capital environment that small businesses who are trying to grow are facing out there. I mean, I'm very, very concerned that policymakers don't understand that a successful business breaking out of small and growing and adding employees is a pass-through entity.
Yeah,
which means if you decide to tax them at $250,000 in income or more, you're taxing their working capital.
Yeah,
And you're taxing their working capital in an environment where it's very, very difficult to get financing. So I think it's going to severely compound our issues if they don't extend those Bush tax cuts. That's my personal opinion.
The thing that blows me away is, and this to me, this is the government demonstrating. And I'm gonna put it on the administration right now. The administration demonstrating that they don't know anything about the way the marketplace works, because they don't understand why all the things that they've done hasn't created more jobs. Well, there are small business owners right now who don't think of themselves as rich because they're not rich, but they're trying to project their growth for the next 2 or 3 years. They're trying to build spreadsheets to see how much margin they need to charge. How can they squeeze it out? How can they cut expenses so they can be profitable and survive? And yet we don't know. They don't know. They and we, or I don't know either, how much my tax bill is going to be for the next year or 2 years or 3 years. We don't know what that's going to be. So we can't really get down to micromanaging our gross profit margin. And to get a net profit that we want, the EBITDA is as it's called. So we know how much to charge people, how much expenses to have. That's an example of how uncertain it is out there. And for some reason, they've decided that anybody who makes over $250,000 is rich, but they don't understand that that's not rich in small business.
No, it's their working capital. And let's add one other issue. When you have I have a schedule in the book where I indicate that a hiring a $50,000 a year employee, which is probably 35 to 40 with their benefits.
Right.
So we're, you know, think a $35,000-$40,000 a year employee is the equivalent of borrowing $300,000 if you're paying 7% over
right.
6 years, five
mm-hmm.
years. Well, we have lower interest rates than that.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're going to have is you're going to have large companies opt for capital over employees.
And they have those options now with the technology that's available to them.
Right, and I think that's going to migrate down into the smaller sector of the economy in terms of size of businesses. So what you're going to end up having is you're going to have businesses that are going to opt for technology over people because it's a lot cheaper.
But,
so
Doug, in the last month, we've asked our audience through our website, if you have an opportunity to grow your business, will you be more likely to do it by adding people, or will you be more likely to do it by adding technology? 81% said they would do technology first.
Well, I think that's an indication of the mathematics of the capital markets
right
now.
That's exactly right. And the availability of applications that can replace human beings.
Correct.
And you don't pay payroll taxes on human beings.
Correct.
And you can, and so anyway, let me tell you, there's something else, and this is another indicator. And folks, this is, I'm not being political here. We're just talking about reality. Doug, I heard today that the president is considering, he's announced that he's considering renewing the R&D tax credit.
Yeah.
Now here's to people who don't know what's going on. That may sound like, oh wow, that's going to be great. He's thinking about renewing it, and people will get excited about that, right? Well, guess what? That tax advantage expired last year.
Yeah,
it hasn't been available for 8 months.
Yeah,
and we still don't know if he's going to extend it. Now, Doug, if you're in a business that's spending money on R&D. And the tax credit expired, but they're thinking about extending it. Are you going to invest during that period? I don't think so.
No, and as you know, I'm still trying to get Washington interested in the Bridge Act,
right?
Because there's still a capital gap out there, and the difficulties of getting capital for businesses and of the size your audience is on the radio with compound all these issues. So you know, uncertainty causes pause. Tax policy is a big part of that, and I don't know if you know this, but they've completely regulated the entire private equity industry.
Yep.
And,
absolutely.
Work a lot in that industry.
Well, there's a lot of this just the takeover of the marketplace, the infusion of the government into the marketplace.
Yeah.
That they don't realize that makes small business owners go, Stand by, Tintail. Right back with Doug Tatum after these messages. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Doug Tatum. Doug's book is called No Man's Land. Doug, how do we find you these days?
Well, you can find me on the major booksellers and certainly at MTSU, where I'm glad to be affiliated as a professor.
MTSU.edu. You need to get your own. Are you blogging at all?
No, I'm not.
You're going to have to start blogging.
I'm going to have to get that discipline, but I got to get a little more discipline before I start that process.
hey, Doug, talk to us. You've been an executive. You've run a successful business. You're out there. You've been out there. You know, you've got the battle scars to prove it. What if you were advising my audience about how to run a business right now in the rest of the 2010 and into the second decade of the 21st century, what'd you tell them?
Well, I always start with and in fact I've done this around the world in India and in Europe is I would tell your audience that unless you have 100% market share in your industry, there's an opportunity to win, and somebody in this economy is going to do it. So effectively, you got to start with a mental attitude that there's plenty of business out there. You're going to have to take it from somebody.
Somebody's buying something that you sell from somebody somewhere right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then secondly, I think that I would look for promises that you can make to your customers that you're probably 60 to 70% organized to keep. If they're asking for something and you think you've got more than a half a chance of saying, pulling it off, do it. That's where innovation happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to change your businesses rapidly to what your customers need. And I think there's, as I told the students, I don't think there's probably a more exciting time in the world to get into business. The opportunities are enormous, but it is a different world and will be for probably from here on.
When you and I started in business, Doug, you know, we laced up our wingtips and went to work. Today, yeah. You better be lacing up track shoes.
Well, exactly. And I gave the illustration to the students. I said, you know, I happen to be a venture capitalist, and I have some money invested in an aircraft that was born out of the new FAA regulations for sports craft. And I showed them a video of it, and they all wished they had one.
Can you say which one it is?
It's Icon. Iconaircraft.com. It's one of the coolest things you've ever seen.
I think spell Icon. Is it like we
I-C-O-N.
Think?
I-C-O-N.
Okay.
I-C-O-N. Right. And the CEO there is a brilliant visionary. But what was interesting, without getting into the details, which I shouldn't, the amount of money that he has used to get an aircraft up into flight testing, they would have laughed you out of a room
right.
anywhere in the world 5 years ago. But the ability to do things for low amounts of money, barriers to entry are low, and there's huge opportunities out there for entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different world, and you're exactly right. Go make some promises that you're not quite organized to keep, because that's what you're going to have to do to keep your customers and grow some new ones.
The one of the things that I wanted to, by the way, that's iconaircraft.com mm-hmm. is the website for that, folks. Doug, one of the things that I wanted you to talk about is a little bit is I've been saying for a year or so now that the second decade of the 21st century is not going to look anything like the last decade.
I agree.
And I've been working for 12 years to get small business owners' heads out of the 20th century. Now, if you're still in the 20th century, I can't help you. I'm trying to get them out of the first decade of the 21st century right. into the second decade. Talk to us about that for a minute or so.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, one of the illustrations I use to the students is that in the decade preceding the one you're just referring to, small businesses were running international businesses. And I gave them example after example of former clients of my firms that in the $2 and $3 million revenue ranges either took their supply chain internationally or developed international customers. It's a different world. Capital and information is flowing around at the speed of the light, and you're going to have to think outside of the box in order to survive.
Yeah. Well, the main thing you'll have to do, I think, Doug, is you got to realize that your customers are – I keep coming back to Wayne Gretzky. He said, I was successful because I didn't skate to where the puck was. I skate where it was going.
Yeah.
And you got to – your customer is moving. And when you see them, if you're not going after them ahead of where they are right now, you're not going to catch them. They'll be gone.
Well, I got to tell you a story.
Can you hold that? We've run out of time.
Yeah.
You know, a talk show is an imprecise activity in a precise environment.
You got it.
So we hold that story. Come back next time real soon.
Look forward to it.
Doug Tatum, ladies and gentlemen, assistant professor at MTSU. How about that? Great assignment over there. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.